for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there.
This is a Saturday afternoon service, July the 5th, 1997, of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Dr. Bill Null is the speaker for the afternoon.
Praise you, Lord. Would you all stand with me, please? Oh, Lord Jesus, we just come before you now, Lord. Ask you to quicken this word, Lord God. Just quicken it, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we just ask you to quicken it now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord God. Boy, it's the letter kill it, but the Spirit giveth life. Give life to these words as they come forth, Lord, that they might touch your people, Lord. In the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you and we praise you and bless you and we glorify you, Lord. Now, today we're starting a fourth tape on the subject of witchcraft or magic in its various, the occult, whichever you'd like to call it. Occult means hidden in all its various forms. And we said that this was divided into three portions. One was witchcraft, which is witchcraft for women and wizardry for men, which implies the possession of supernatural power by compact with evil spirits using curses and rituals. Second division was sorcery, which implies magic or power in which spells are cast and charms are used. Also, potions, drugs, musical elements, and talismans are used. And these people are frequently called charmers. And the third was divination. And divination is the use to obtain supernatural knowledge about past events in which you would otherwise not have access, or to events which will occur in the future. Now, we looked at these. We said that witchcraft was a work of the flesh, listed in Galatians 5:19, and it could be divided into to manipulation, intimidate, dominate. The weaker manipulate, the stronger intimidate, but the end result is to dominate. We said this could be done in families, could be done in employment situations, could be done in churches, could be done in social groups, could be done through a salesman trying to dominate you or into manipulating you into buying a certain object that you don't need. And all this is done through compact with evil spirits. Now, there are two sources of supernatural power, we said. One was from the Holy Spirit, and the other is the unholy spirit. The unholy spirit we call evil spirits or familiar spirits or demons. And people who tend to manipulate you out of the will of God are using demonic power. And we spoke in James and said that when you pray prayers that would manipulate, intimidate, dominate, or bring about your selfish ambition, James 3:13-14, that these prayers were earthly, soulish, or demonic. And a soulish prayer has demonic power to bring to pass, but it puts you under the curse of using witchcraft. We said sorcery was the use of drugs or music, and again to bring about a desired result. Or else it was the use of a magic charm, or a potion, or a fetish. A fetish being something that contains which has been prayed over by someone with a familiar spirit, some a shaman or a witch doctor or a hoodoo, and they put certain elements into this and they pray over them, and this will give this magical power. We didn't talk a lot about that. We ran out of time. These things are generally given and they are planted in your home. Someone will plant this in your home and it brings a demon into your house and bring about a desired result. It's called an anchor sometimes. The fetish is planted as an anchor. Or someone will give you something that has an anchor in it, in a way trying to manipulate you or dominate you. Quite frequently, it's something unusual or different, or something that you would treasure, and not knowing that planted into this is a fetish, or an anchor for a demonic spirit to be in your house to. And this person then tries to use that demonic force to bend you to their will. That's scary. I've had it happen. God showed me. And when we destroyed the anchor of the fetish, the power broke. My wife had accepted this thing, given to her. And the thing that tipped us off, she said, well, don't ever get rid of it. Always keep it in your house. Well, it didn't seem right to me, and so I began to pray over it, and God showed me what it was. And when we got rid of it, the power broke, burned it. It burned a long time. You burn up some of these things, you'd be surprised how high the flames will leap and how long they'll burn. And the third thing that we talked about was divination. And divination is a practice of trying to foretell the future, or foretell past, or have access to past knowledge, or to foretell the future, or the unknown. And we said this was done through various types of instruments which are commonly sold, all of which have familiar spirits attached to them, and is a familiar spirit that speaks to you and gives you the impression and allows the professional diviner, or the amateur diviner, to read them. To read the tarot cards, read the tea leaves. What about it? Well, almost anything can be used.
Well, I just want to know because I'm thinking about something.
Well, almost anything can be used. It depends on the person who has it and what they did with it. And the charm and the curse and the prayer they prayed over it. I would not buy incense. Incense is generally made by the Hare Krishnas and it's generally made in overseas and is dedicated to foreign gods. And you have to be very careful when you buy stuff that's made in third world countries. We talked about the Indian pottery. We talked about the artistic work of certain native craftsmen who dedicate their work to demonic gods. And quite often in foreign and stuff that you get from the Orient, they have prayers written in a language you can't read. And you should be careful what you bring into your home. Then there were the games, children's games that they play, like the Ouija board, which we said meant yes, yes. And it is a divination device. It's very common. Parker Brothers make several million a year that they sell. Well, what they do is, if you know how they make this stuff, when the Indian craftsman goes out to the river, he prays and asks the spirit of the river to give him the clay out of the bank. And then when he works the clay, he asks the spirit of the clay to allow him to work it, and then he forms a pot, and then he prays over it, and then he he prays every step of the way, and he dedicates it to these spirits, dedicated to demons. In the last 30 years, there's been a big move within the Indian tribesmen to go back to the old ways, go back to worshiping the demon gods, and go back to the old rituals and so forth. And there's been a resurge of this and a resurge of witchcraft within them. But they were the table, we've talked about games, the Ouija board, we talked about merry work, we talked about levitation, we talked about pendulum and spinning the bottle and seances, and seances can be more than children's games, but these are things that are very commonly practiced in slumber parties, and it opens children to demonic influence. And I can tell you some real horror stories. We talked about some of them last week, and then we talked about table tipping and automatic writing and drawing, and then we talked about clairvoyance, people who are clairvoyant and have a gift from God, and people who ward a witch and have a gift from God to do this, and it is not Jesus. It's not the Holy Spirit. And we have people with EFP and precognition, and then we talked about astrology and stargazing and horoscopes, and I gave you the scripture, Isaiah 47:13-14. We talked about hypnosis and mind reading, and we know that only God, I gave you the scripture, 2 Chronicles 6:30, which says, you and you alone know the hearts of men. The devil can't read your mind. Now, he can read the thoughts he's put in it, but he doesn't know what you bring up of your own volition. And then we talked about the true demonic skills of astral projection, soul writing, thought projection, and dematerialization and rematerialization. And, we go are going over all this because recapitulation is part of learning. And you need to listen to this, and you need to listen to it again, because you don't retain all of it unless you review it. You need to study it, because this is very common. And today I'm going to talk to you, I want you to open your Bibles to 1 Samuel 15. It's a very simple lesson, but it is one that I want you to see how the enemy uses something that is very common to put you in bondage. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 22 and 23. Now the scene is, God has sent Samuel out with the army to totally destroy the Amalekites and everything they possessed, the total band. And so Samuel took the army and he struck the Amalekites and he defeated them. And he killed all of them. He killed all of them he could catch except the king. He put him in a cage. And they went in and went out to destroy the cattle and so forth. They only killed the sorry looking ones. The best ones they kept. And they were going to use those to sacrifice to God. And they carried them back to someplace else to sacrifice. And when Samuel got there, Saul said to him, "Oh, we have kept the word of the Lord." And so, look at verse 18. "Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are exterminated.' Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord?" And Saul said to Samuel, "But I have gone and obeyed the voice of the Lord, and gone on the mission which the Lord sent me, and I brought back Agag, king of the Amalekites, and I utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took the best of the plunder, the sheep and the oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal." You notice he's blaming someone else now. He's in charge. And Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to heed than a fat of rams." God says, better for you to obey than to make a big offering to the church. He tells you to do something. You say, "Lord, I don't want to do that, but you know, I'll give something. I'll give $1,000 to the church if I just don't have to do that." A lot of people do that. They try to buy God off. And he said, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry. Because you rejected the word of God, he's also rejected you for being king." Then Saul said to Samuel, "I have sinned, I have transgressed the commandment of God and your words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice." Now, see, he's trying to blame somebody else again. "Therefore, pardon my sin and return me to my worship of the Lord." And then Samuel said to Saul, "I will not return with you, for you reject the word of the Lord." And Samuel turned to go away, and Saul seized the enemy's robe and it tore. And then verse 30 said, "I have sinned, yet honor me now, please, before the elders of the people and before Israel, return with me that I may worship the Lord." Saul was really worried about what people were going to say. Let's go back up now. "To rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." Now, if you look up this word in Strong's Concordance, it is word 4, 4,805, which means rebellion or bitterness. And it's derived from the word 4784, which is a primary root, which means to be bitter. And then he says, stubbornness is as iniquity, and the as is added by the translators. And so what the text actually says is, stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. The as is, you notice if you have a King James, it's in parentheses. That means that the translators added that to try to give it a little easier meaning for you. But stubbornness is iniquity and idolatry. And stubbornness, now iniquity, what is an iniquity? Derek Prince defines iniquity in the Bible. Iniquity is when you know you're wrong, but you're going to do it anyway. When you sin, when you do something wrong, you don't know it, you sin. You slip. But when God is convicting you and say, I know, Lord, it ain't right, but I'm going to do it anyway because I like it. That's an iniquity. That's rebellion. Iniquity really is rebellion and all of its evil consequences. And so what God is saying here is that if you are stubborn or rebellious, it is as witchcraft. You're worshiping a foreign god. You're worshiping yourself. That's what God means. And if you do that, you will become bitter. Bitterness will come in. If you stay in witchcraft or you stay in rebellion, you will become bitter. If you're in rebellion against authority God has placed in your life, if you're in rebellion against your husband, if you're in rebellion against God, he called you for something, you don't want to do it. If you're in rebellion against the man that hired you, your boss that you're working for, if you're in rebellion against the pastor and you know that God assigned you to that church and it's a godly man, and he's not requiring of you anything that is not biblical, and you're in rebellion because you don't want to do it, you'll become bitter. You will become bitter. And if you are bitter, if you allow the root of bitterness to creep in because you have been hurt, someone has hurt you, someone has wronged you, and you become bitter because of it, you will become rebellious. The two are intertwined, and you will come into witchcraft. Because you will begin to try to manipulate people around you to get your way. If you're stubborn and want to have your own way, you will try to manipulate people around you, intimidate people around you, try to dominate people to have your way. And you will come into witchcraft. Now, rebellion opens you to lust. And what is lust? Lust is rebellion. It is a strong desire for that which is forbidden. Look it up in Webster's Dictionary. Lust is a strong desire for that which is forbidden. It's not yours. And when you come into lust, then the devil can have lots of fun with you. He can torment you and your family. Lust opens you up to being empty. Feel empty, you'll feel not satisfied, not secure. When you become rebellious and it opens you up to lust, suddenly you're not satisfied anymore. Things aren't right anymore. You're not secure, you feel empty, you feel threatened, you feel your peace is gone. What has happened is you become a wicked person. When you fall into iniquity, by definition of Proverbs, you have become a wicked person. It's like when you don't pay your bills. You know, the Bible says, the wicked borrow and do not repay. I mean, if you borrow money and don't repay it, by biblical definition, you're wicked. That's tough. That's a tough statement. But the Bible has a remedy for it, too. Praise your Lord Jesus. Look at 1 John 2:15-17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. For if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh the lust of their eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Let's look first, you know, when you become empty, when lust opens you up to these empty feelings and these not satisfied feelings and not secure feelings, and you suddenly just become unhappy, and you suddenly become unhappy with God's call on your life. You know, you don't really like what God's got you doing. You know, he's got a better deal than I have. And you know, why has he got a better deal, huh? Why is things so much easier for that? And they don't ever have any problems over there. They don't have any sickness in their family. Their kids aren't ever sick, you know. And their kids make better grades than mine in school. And those over there, my kids are just acting up and are hard. I'm getting bad reports on them. Their kids are always, why are their kids always good? And I have so much trouble with mine. And look at them. They got 2 new cars this year. And how could they do that? And he doesn't make any more money. He must be stealing or something. And you know, you suddenly become unhappy. And you're unhappy with God's call on your life. And you're unhappy with your provision. And then maybe you're unhappy with your mate. You know, maybe she's spending all the money. You know, what's she doing with it? It's all, yeah, what's wrong with her? And she, you know, she used to be able to cook better than this. And you know, and she wants to buy clothes all the time. And she's just spending. And you know, where is he? He's down. What's he doing? You know, he got off an hour ago. Where is he? Is he down at the pool hall? Who's he got down there he's seeing? Praise the Lord. You get unhappy. And you get unhappy. And the circumstances, you don't like your circumstances. You don't like your kids. The kids aren't doing well. And the kids aren't acting right. And the kids aren't ever happy. And they're not doing their jobs right. And they aren't dressing right. And they are saying the wrong things. And they're getting, and suddenly, and what does that sound like? Let's look at Isaiah. Now, I'll sort of quicken the verse here in Isaiah 55. Not 57. I'm sorry. Isaiah 57, 19, 20, and 21. I create the fruit of the lips. Isn't interesting? I create the fruit of the lips. Peace. Peace to him who is far off and to him who is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked, that's those folks in iniquity and rebellion and bitterness, are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. Can't you see the waves just stirring up the water and getting it muddy and nasty looking? There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked. You come into rebellion and stubbornness, you come into iniquity, and you lose your peace. Now remember, Jesus said, I came that you might have shalom. Peace, translated peace, it means health, wholeness, prosperity, serenity, and absence of fear. That's what it means. Salvation, too, is included in that. That's what it means. It means general things just going your way. And you don't have any, and you got your eyes on Jesus, and he's providing for you. But when you're in rebellion and bitterness and witchcraft, you know, you don't have no peace. Man, everything's going wrong. And that's what witchcraft opens up to you. And you start trying to provide for it through your own selfish means. You start trying to provide for it by trying to manipulate, intimidate, dominate. You start making soulish prayers for selfish ambition, for envy and covetousness. Envying these cars over here, coveting these 2 new cars, envying those children are making better grades, envying these are the better dressed over here, envying this bigger house over here. And wanting it, all of it, don't understand. You want all of that for yourself. You don't understand why the other folks can afford it. You can't. And you start blaming everybody else, including yourself. And you come into the lust of the eye. Now, the lust of the eye, I put down pornography, sexual lust. It comes through the eyeball, particularly for men. Envy, jealousy, and covetousness. Those are the things that come in. When you get into the stubborn, rebellious people, come into this. They get into sexual lust. Their mate's not good enough. And they come into porneo, sexual immorality. And remember, porneo is a Greek word from which we get pornography. You want to think of what it means? Look, remember the beer ad out there with the cute little girl, scantily clad girl, with holding a can of Coors Light. And says, if you buy Coors Light, you get one of these to go with it. All the way down. Or if you drink Coors Light, you'll look like this. All the way down to bestiality that you see in the Hustler magazine and some of those other things that just the most debased thing that you can think of, and that's porneo. It all encompass also means idolatry too, and whoredom and prostitution, and it's an all-inclusive word. And that's the lust of the eye. And that rebellion and stubbornness will bring you into that. And not only that, it'll bring your children into it. Parents, bring your children into it. That's right. You remember, let's look at Matthew 18. I don't want to get off on a rabbit trail here. I want to get through this. Let's look at this. That's a very important point. Matthew 18, and we look at the parable of the unforgiving servant, and we come to verse 23. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought who owed him 10,000 talents. That's a few billion dollars. That's always, it's an Oriental book. Talent was always in gold, was 90 pounds, and you figure that out, and that amount, 10,000 times 90, gives you a lot of gold, and at $3,000 and $300 an ounce, that's several billion dollars. But he was not able to pay his master, his master commanded that he be sold. With his wife and his children and all that he had, that payment be made. And so, you go into bondage, and your wife and children, gentlemen, will go into bondage too. Now, a wife put her children into bondage, same thing. And remember that a man and his wife become one flesh. And I've had young ladies say, well, am I responsible for the sins of my husband? I'm afraid that if you are joined to him as one flesh, then part of it does rub off on you. Now you can stand against it. You can pray and you can ask God to bless him and ask God to deliver you. And if you stand in prayer, God's faithful and he will cleanse you of it. And I had men say, my wife is a horrible Jezebel and she's casting curses and she's just doing all sorts of things. What can I do? And if you can stand against it, you can bind it before Jesus every day, and you can break the curses. And remember that in the spirit world, things are done on a 24-hour basis. In your individual lives, curses are broken on a 24-hour basis. Now, curses for past sins are one thing. But when you're doing spiritual warfare on a continuing basis, and someone is coming against you, break it for 24 hours. You know, God said, give us this day our daily bread. He said, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Now, the new day starts at sunset. He said, don't give place to the devil. So that gives place to the devil. And giving place to the devil in the Hebrew means like moving over on the couch and giving him room to sit next to you. Or moving over the table, giving place to the table with you. Don't give him a place. You do this by binding it. And whatever you bind on this earth shall be bound in the heavens. And so you need, Paul said, praying always for all the saints in the Spirit. Paul didn't say pray once and quit. Jesus even had to pray for the blind man twice. Okay, so the lust of the eye is pornography. It's what you see. Pornography, envy, jealousy, and covetousness. The lust of the flesh Well, the lust of the flesh, I have overeating, fornication, and a desire for things. Overeating. If you get this insecurity, lots of people become addicted to food to satisfy their insecurity. They get addicted to cigarettes to satisfy their insecurity, and they let a demon in. And then they become addicted to them, but they start smoking. They start eating, they start chewing, they start drinking. You start drinking. You find that when you go home at night, you're tired, you know, and you want to relax a little bit, and so you just take a tall can of Coors, and you know, life's not, don't get any better than that. That's what television says. Boy, nothing better than this. And that just sort of, you know, takes the edge off. And then you can relax and cut the television on and watch the jigglers go by, you know, and watch the bouncy little girls go by. And and open your eyes to that. But as you do that, you open yourself to demonic influence. It's of the flesh. But as you do that, that sorcery demon can come in. And the more you worship it, the more you depend on it, the stronger he becomes. Until suddenly, and if you happen to have a family history of that problem, and you got a lot of real strong ones assigned to your family line, your chances are real good you're going to get in trouble. And then you feel that things have begun to go bad because you and your wife are blaming each other, and suddenly you feel, you know, that nobody loves you, and there's this sweet little thing at the office that's just so nice, and you try to find love. Lust is the devil's answer to love. It's his substitute. And you try to find somebody who understands, and so you wind up in fornication. Lots of people think that they'll just buy something. The mall is full of folks out there buying things they don't need to make themselves feel better. That's the lust of the flesh. I mean, it's absolutely full of people out there. I know folks that got so many knickknacks in their house, you have to turn sideways to get around them, you know. And they out there in the mall, they just buying them all and they putting them on Visa. 18% interest. It's sad. Comes one of the base causes. Rebellion and stubbornness will open you up to all of this. And then you had the pride of life. In the pride of life, I had power, wealth, position. Power. Some people will work very hard in their job to advance. They will concentrate on this. And they become workaholics. And their job becomes their entire life. And like concentrating on that, trying to find that security is something that will fill that empty void. And nothing's going to fill an empty void until they come out of rebellion. And that sometimes gets buried so deep under all this other stuff that only the word of knowledge of God will tell you what the root cause is. And so they come into this. Some people think education is going to do it. And we got folks that are professional students. We got women who leave their kids in daycare and go to college all the time. And they can get student loans and student loans and student loans, and then when they finally get out, they got to work to pay the student loans off. But one thing is certain, they don't ever have to go home. And they wonder why they got this empty feeling all the time. An unhappy feeling. And they're taking drugs. They're drinking alcohol and smoking cigarettes. And just unhappy. Restless, empty, unhappy, bitter people. Bitter. Remember, bitterness. You'll see the bitterness in them. And they've always got somebody to blame. It's always somebody's fault. Always. Then there are those people who will chase money. You're looking at one. I tell you, greed's mouth is never full. I don't care how much you make. You'll never be enough. And you know, some folks make millions of dollars and don't have a nickel because they spend 2 million. Other folks make millions of dollars and they never spend a nickel of it. They just hold on to it. I remember an old gentleman in my hometown, and when he died in 1945, he was worth about $1 million. But he lived in a little hovel, and his wife was dead, and my father went by and talked to him because he was a good dad, had known him for years, and trying to tell him to take his medicine like the doctor had prescribed. He's only taking half as much to make the medicine last twice as long. He wouldn't take his digitalis, because it wasn't having his heart any, but he was going to make that medicine last twice as long. That doctor gave him this, he's going to take a half teaspoon, it would last twice as long, on cost half as much. And the old man had a, he was down south, and we had these coal grates in the fireplace, you know, and he put bricks behind it so it wouldn't take as much coal, and of course it didn't heat the house as well either. And the house was always cold, you know, his water pipes would almost freeze in the wintertime because the house was 40 degrees or so in the daytime. He had to wear an overcoat in there. Oh, Lord. I remember when I took the Boy Scouts to Canada and for one camp out, and one of the men, he sat around in his underwear when it was 50 degrees almost in the room, you know, and he said he'd gotten acclimated to it, and the cold didn't bother him, and I just wondered, you know, I thought maybe I would save some money. I had just moved. I'd been in an apartment where my rent was always paid, and the utilities were all paid, the bills were all paid, and I didn't have to worry about a heating bill. And then when I left there and I moved into a house, I had to start paying KP&L, and I decided I'd sort of cut the thermostat down, and I'd gotten it down to where I could tolerate 60 degrees all the year round, you know, and it was in the wintertime. And so I decided I'd cut it down to 50 and see how it went. And so I was sitting there reading my Bible, you know, and studying, and the door knocked, and this couple came over to see about me, and they came in, they sat down. They didn't stay very long, you know, and they didn't. And they stopped by the pastor's house on the way, and they said, is everything all right with Doc? I said, well, yeah, I think so. So we buy his house, you know, and he's sitting in there, and he's got his parka on, he's got this heavy sweater on, and he's got a stocking hat on, and he's got gloves on, and you can see the moisture condense when he breathes out. So I bet it's 30 degrees in that place. And he was sitting there reading his Bible. He said, you suppose he's having trouble paying his bills? He said, maybe we ought to help him with the love fund. So the pastor came down to see me. And he said, how cold is it in here, Doc? I said, 50 degrees. He said, Lord. And so he told me the story, so I turned it back up to 65. I didn't want people thinking I was demented or something. I really got to thinking about Harry, you know. When I've written to them about Harry, the man at home, and I decided how everybody laughed at Harry. I didn't want people laughing. I turned it back up. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Anyway, position. And sometimes, you know, you work for position of authority within the community, position of prominence, position there are lots of folks that never stay at home. They're always out serving on this committee and that committee and yonder committee, and they're out, you know, they're building social prominence within the community. They want to live in the right section of town. They want to belong to the country club, and they want to be in the junior league, and they want their daughters to make their debut, and they want to do this and that and the other, and all this hogwash. Lord, forgive me. But, this again is, in most cases, is just insecurity. And it's the pride of life. And one of the root causes is rebellion and bitterness. Stubbornness. Remember those three things. Bitterness, rebellion, and stubbornness. Stubbornness and rebellion will bring on bitterness. And so, we've talked about witchcraft now. And there's a lot more There's a lot more to the occult that come in through various types of Eastern religions. And I'll cover those on some other time. But sometimes you don't really realize that you're in an Eastern religion. You've been introduced to relaxation courses and so forth. And I don't want to get started on that because we'll be here for another hour. And so what do you do to break from witchcraft? First, you ask God to show you. And you look and see if there's been rebellion in your life. Did you rebel against your elders? Is there a history of rebellion in your past? You know, God had me go back and write letters to people I offended 30 years ago that I led rebellion against that were positioned, who were in lawful positions of authority over me, and I was just stubborn and going, and I was rebellious, and I had to sit down and write all those people and find their addresses and write and ask forgiveness. I had to go home and get in front of my knees in front of my mother and say, "Oh God, Mother, I was rebellious when I was a teenager. I said, I want to apologize to you and ask you to forgive me for all the pain and the sorrow I caused you." I thought Mother would be gracious, you know. And said, "Oh, son, no." She said, "Yes, you did cause me a lot of pain. But I will forgive you. I forgive you." And so we talked on, and she said, "Billy, tell me about this church that you're in." So I told her. And I tried to explain to her about the fullness of the Spirit and the gifts. She says, "Billy, you know what it sounds like to me?" I said, "What, Mother?" "Sounds like to me you've gone up and got yourself messed up with a bunch of holy rollers." I said, "Well, yes, Mother, I'm in the Holy Roller Church." "That's right, I'm a holy roller." And she said, "Oh, my God, the holy rollers have got my child." And she broke out in tears and left the room. In about 15 minutes, you know, I'm sitting there praying. I didn't know what to think, you know. And she came back in and she said, Billy, "Where do y'all keep the snakes?" I said, "Mother, we don't handle no snakes in church. We don't drink poison or throw hot coals around either." I said, "That's those crazy homeless people down the street down there. We don't do that in our church. We just go to church." And then I named the denomination I'd come out of. "We just go to church like them, you know. We just worship differently." She said, "Oh, okay. Very good." And so, I went and confessed my sin. I asked forgiveness. Now, God, I tell you, it was a cleansing like I've never had. I cried when I wrote those letters. I broke down and I cried. And I got free. Now, God had me do that. He witnessed that to my spirit. And it took a little time and a little effort. And all those people that were still alive wrote me back. And every one of them forgave me. And said, and most of them said, "May God bless you." Because they were good Christian people. And then after you confess your sin, you repent. Now let's look at 2 Corinthians 7:10. 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, "Godly sorrow produces repentance to salvation not to be regretted. The sorrow of this world produces death." You ask God for the spirit of repentance. The godly sorrow brings repentance. And you ask God. All right, now let's look at Mark 1:15. Jesus said, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." Repent and have faith in the good news. In Acts 17:30, "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but he now commands all men everywhere to repent, to move away from rebellion, iniquity, and bitterness, witchcraft, and idolatry." Move away from it. Repent before him. Say, "God, give me the spirit to move away." Repent means to decide it's wrong. Accept God's conviction that it's wrong. Change your mind about it. Stop, and then stop doing it. Turn and walk away from it. Say, "I'm not going to ever do that again." God, by your grace, it's God's grace that you're able to repent. How many of y'all ever made New Year's resolutions in the flesh? How long did you keep them? And that's godly sorrow. I mean, that's sorrow of the world, I'm sorry. But godly sorrow, when you repent and move away, and you've repented, and you fix your eyes on God, you won't do it again. And don't say that you won't be tempted. And you might slip once, but as you move in and you keep your eyes on God, your new way of living will come about. Repentance. Then you break the curses. Now Galatians, now we went over the fact that witchcraft carries a curse for four generations. We went over that in Exodus 35 and 15 other scriptures. Okay. Now Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the heathen in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, lots of people will tell you that that happened automatically on the cross. That you don't have to break curses. That when Jesus died on the cross, that was automatically broken and you never had to do anything. And that's just it. People who think like that, it also said he died for the sins of the whole world, but the whole world isn't saved. Only those folks who accept Jesus Christ into their heart as Lord and Savior and turn and follow him in faith are the ones that are saved and are going to see him again and going to go into the kingdom of God. Well, it also said that he carried all your infirmities and all your sorrows and all your sickness and all your pain on the cross. But if you have to claim your healing and stand for it, and you got to claim the breaking of the curse, just like that. The nice thing about it is you can claim it. Now it says in Isaiah 55, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you in condemnation, you shall refute or refuse. This is the heritage. It's Isaiah 54:17, verse 17. Every tongue that rises against you, you shall condemn or refute. That word condemn can also mean refute. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me. And any tongue that rises and curses are spoken by the tongue. A curse is something that's spoken, that's hit the sound waves. If it wasn't spoken, it's not a curse, by definition. And so you can refute it, God will break it, and so you break the curses, you refuse to accept them. Then you clean your house out, your physical house where you live in, your home, your person. Look at Deuteronomy 7. Now, we looked at Deuteronomy earlier, Deuteronomy 18 earlier this morning, or yesterday. Now, let's look at Deuteronomy 7:25. You shall burn the carved images of their gods with fire. You shall not covet the gold or silver that is on them, nor take it for yourselves, lest you be snared by it, for it's an abomination to the Lord your God. Nor shall you bring an abomination into your house, lest you be doomed to destruction like it. Now the old King James, lest you be accursed like it. For you shall utterly detest it and utterly abhor it, for it is an accursed thing. That means that if you bring it into the house, you're going to be cursed just like it's cursed. You need to get those things out of your house. And we've gone over. You know, you get all the idols out. Anything, any talisman that you might have, any allurements that you might have, any good luck charms you might have, any religious medals that you might have with saints and pictures on them that you've asked to keep you well or protect you when you travel, that you've depended on, prayed to and depended on other than the Holy Spirit. For He's the one that protects. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit and His angels. Pick up anything that has been dedicated to a foreign God. You know, when I clean my house, God really convicted me. I cleaned out a little bit, and he convicted me one night, and I had this huge occult library that I thought that, you know, that I was studying, and I thought that, you know, and God convicted me that I shouldn't really have that in my home. And I came, really came under conviction about 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock one night, and so I went down to the river, you know, and I had a circle down there that we built a campfire in, and I took about a half a quart, I had a little tractor with a little trailer behind it, and I cranked up my tractor, and I hauled a lot of wood down there and poured gasoline all over it, you know, and got a big fire started. Then I started hauling books down there and throwing them on it. And my son's voodoo drums from Haiti that we had picked up, and some bookends and some all sorts of stuff. And I just kept walking through the house, and if I didn't feel right about it, it went in the sack, man. Got in my son's room, and he had this beautiful library on mythology. They all went. He came home, he'd be a little upset. And I felt convicted because I had no right to destroy the books that didn't belong to me. So I paid him for them, $2,500. That's what they were worth. He didn't buy any more, but. And so you burn those things. Well, what does it say in the New Testament you do that? Let's look at Acts 19:19. Just in case somebody points out to you that that's Old Testament. Well, I tell you, it's all one book. The Old Testament's the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. You cannot understand the New Testament unless you know the Old Testament. Praise your Lord Jesus. Let's see, 19:19. Here we're talking about after the seven sons of Sceva had called out over this man, we adjure you in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, come out. And the demon said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I've heard about. But who are you? And he jumped on them. The man had the demon jumped on them and beat them all up and stripped them naked and threw them out of the house. And the name of Jesus was magnified. Verse 19, as many as believed came confessing their deeds. You notice then that verse 17 said, fear fell on all them in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus was magnified. As many had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. And as many as those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in sight of all. And they counted up the value, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. And that's a denarius. A denarius is a day's wage. And so if you work 8 hours a day at 5 hours, that's $40. And if you work 10 hours, that would be $80. Let's say that we poor working people get about $50 a day. So you say $50 a day times 50 times 50,000 will give you about $2.5 million. You burned them all. They brought them and burned them. I burned about $2,000 or $3,000 worth of books that month. My neighbor came down, and I was throwing books, and he said, that's a huge fire, man. He said, Bill, you all right? I said, you drunk? I said, no. What you doing? So I'm just burning up some trash. At 3 o'clock in the morning? Yeah. He said, you sure you are? Yeah, I'm fine. We'll go back to sleep now. We are all right down here. He said, I'm getting ready to call the fire department. I thought this place was burning up. That's a huge fire. Next morning, I went down, and it had all burned up, and I sort of stirred the ashes up and threw them in the river. Praise you. So you clean your house. Now let's look at 1 Corinthians 10. And this tells you why you really want to get them things out of your house. 1 Corinthians 10, 19 and 20. What am I saying? An idol is anything? Or what's offered to an idol is anything? But I say that the things with the Gentiles or the heathen sacrifice is sacrificed to demons, not to God. And I don't want you to have fellowship with demons. Those idols got demons attached to them. Those fetishes have got demons attached. Those medallions that you have, they got demons attached to them. And you don't want demons in your house. Brother or Sister Irma will tell you about the people who had the fine Buddha that they brought from Saigon. And their child was waking up at night screaming, saying, they it, 2-year-old. And he couldn't really talk and explain. He just screamed and said, it. And he woke up every night. And They had this beautiful jade Buddha that was worth several thousand dollars. And Irma said, that thing got a demon. It's coming out terrifying your child at night. I said, oh, goodness. We'll have to sell it. She said, you're going to sell that demon to somebody? First, they put it out in the garage. You know, they got it out of the house, out in the woodshed behind the house, and to see what was going to happen. The child quit crying at night and said, well, we're going to have to sell it. We'll have to get rid of it. So, man, we got too much money invested in that thing to destroy it. And God convicted them. Because it says, you shall not profit from the gold or silver thereof. They said, we're not profiting. We just want our money back. I can tell you other stories, too, about that. But you get rid of those stuff. You take authority then over the demons and cast them out. But you got people, I tell you. You notice the first thing I said was that you examine your life and see if you got rebellion or stubbornness or unforgiveness or bitterness in your life. Rebellion, stubbornness, bitterness, rebellion. And you get right with that. Now, if you will get right and repent, demons will come out. Now, sometimes that you've been in so much rebellion so long you don't even remember what it was, then you may need some help. But most people can deliver themselves if they will repent quickly. You repent quickly, you won't get in trouble. But if we have what we need is old-fashioned repentance, confession of sin, and turning away and repenting. Some of this stuff comes in through the family or through practices that you thought were perfectly legitimate, that your parents thought were perfectly legitimate. Like, you know, Masons. Get involved with the Rainbow Girls or the DMLA or something, you know, and that's just a nice social organization, but it has demonic roots. And you open yourself, and you don't know. And your parents have been doing it, and they didn't know. And sometimes you need some help with that sort of thing. And that's the reason this camp is here. But I say to you, the demons got a legal hold to you, they ain't going to come out. They'll sit there and laugh at you. As long as you stay in rebellion, you must like them. Because they show like you. If you just stay there in rebellion, you get to keep them. Now, some folks want to be able to get rid of the demons and keep their rebellion. And work that way. Sometimes they will confess their rebellion and so forth. The demons will leave. And they will leave and find in 3 minutes, 3 days, they're back in rebellion about something else. I know one young man I delivered, and the Holy Spirit delivered. I was praying for him, and he'd been having trouble for several years, and he'd been really oppressed. And he was praying here, and I said, in the break, that God gave me a word of knowledge to break the curse of the witch. And that demon flipped him over, and he landed back over there by where Brother Glenn is on his back. And he did a flip in the air, and that thing came out. And he stayed free for a whole week before he got angry and stubborn. His stubborn, angry, got stubborn and angry, and got justified. He had a right to feel that way, and the demon came back. And I asked him how long, and we talked about it, and he knew what he did, and it was about 3 months later, and I said, you've forgiven him, have you made it right? He said, no! They did me dirty! I got a right to be angry and mad! And I said, you got a right to your demon, too. And I don't know if he's free or not. I've never seen him again. He got angry with me. Praise your Lord. But the demon came back and brought 7 with him, and the condition was worse than the first. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Oh, let's all stand up now. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Praise your name. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Okay. Say, dear Lord, I love you. I want to be free, Lord. I believe that Jesus Christ of Nazareth is the Son of God, was manifested in the flesh, died for my sins on the cross, was buried, was dead and buried,
rose again from the dead on the third day, ascended into heaven, sits on the right hand of the Father, ever to make intercession for me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are my Redeemer, kinsman. You are my Redeemer, my Savior. God is my Father. Jesus is my big brother. I am a member of the family of God. I am not of this world. I am in this world. God is my protector. Thank you, Lord. I am an ambassador of the Most High God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I confess that I have rebelled and not fully obeyed God's directives at times. He has called me, and I have not fully answered. I have been stubborn and gone my own way sometimes in the past. I confess this as sin. I ask forgiveness under the blood of Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, send your Spirit that I might repent and turn away and never come this way again. Touch me, Lord Jesus. Touch me with your repentance. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I break the curse of witchcraft and idolatry. For witchcraft is as a sin, or rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry. I break the curse of witchcraft and idolatry and whoredom on my family and on me and my lineal descendants forever. In the name of Jesus, I confess the sins of my ancestors, and I break the curses in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. For I have been delivered from the curse of the law by Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, I forgive anyone who's ever hurt me, who's ever used me, abused me, or mistreated me, or dominated me, or controlled me in any way contrary to the will of God. I forgive them, Lord. And I break any ungodly soul ties to anyone, living or dead, in the name of Jesus. I pull out these soul ties, and I call back my soul and release any foreign soul from me. Your word says that you will lead me into beside still waters and in green pastures and restore my soul. Restore me, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, you spirits of witchcraft, come on, folks. Now, you spirit, stubbornness, rebellion, bitterness, fornication, idolatry, the occult, the Lord rebuke you. I rebuke you. I bind you. I command you to leave me now and never return. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come on out now in the name of Jesus. Come out of him in the name of Jesus. Come out, bitterness, all anger, all rage in the name of Jesus Christ. All rejection, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All bitterness and anger and rage and resentment in the name of Jesus. I bind you, all idolatry, all witchcraft, all the occult in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Leave God's people. Leave them now. All fornication in the name of Jesus. All spirits of porneo in the name of Jesus. All lust, the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Leave God's people. Leave them in Jesus' name. Go, 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 go. All resentment, all anger, all rage, all bitterness. I pull the bitter root out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and all fear in the name of Jesus. All resentment in the name of Jesus. All rejection, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All bondage to the past, bondage to the past, bondage to drugs, bondage to alcohol, bondage to cigarettes. Come out, bondage, in the name of Jesus. Bondage to pornography in the name of Jesus Christ. Bondage to sex, bondage for perverted sex. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Go! Go in the name of Jesus. I bind all of you in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, go. All you spirits of the Antichrist, go in the name of Jesus. All stubbornness, stubborn self-will. I bind stubborn self-will. I bind the unteachable spirit in the name of Jesus. I break your authority. I bind the spirit of deception in the name of Jesus. The lying spirits in the name of Jesus. I bind the lying spirits, deceiving spirits, the false anointings in the name of Jesus. I bind you, I break all covenants ever spoken by these people in the name of Jesus, ungodly covenants spoken by these people or by their ancestors, binding them to the devil. In the name of Jesus, I break these. I say that the blood of Jesus Christ has annulled these covenants. They are no longer married to the devil. In the name of Jesus, they are no longer married to demons. Come out, you incubus and succubus spirits, in the name of Jesus. You held on. They are not your wife and husband in the name of Jesus Christ. I have the blood of the covenant of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus annuls that covenant in the name of Jesus. Annuls your marriage covenant. You come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you and I command you to be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Go in the name of Jesus. All go, go, go. All lust in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, 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 go. Go! All lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, I bind you and I command you to be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Go! 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 In the name of Jesus. Go! 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 All spirits of bitterness in the name of Jesus. I pull the root of bitterness out in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of paranoia and mental illness, I break the authority. All spirits of schizophrenia, go! Go in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of depression and anger, go. Depression and heaviness and suicide, I bind you in the name of Jesus. All spirits of covetousness, I bind covetousness and greed in the name of Jesus Christ. Coveted spirits, greedy spirits, the I won't spirit, I can't spirit, to keep up with the Joneses spirit. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All of you, spirits of unbelief, I bind the spirit of unbelief in the name of Jesus. I bind the spirit of amnesia in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirit of witchcraft mind control. It can draw no power or authority from any other spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, come out, come out, come out, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all these sex spirits. They can draw no power. They must uncouple and come out. They cannot draw power from one another. No dying demon can draw power from one another. I bind all of you demons. You can draw no power from one another. I demand that you uncouple and come out in the name of Jesus Christ. By the blood of Jesus Christ. By the blood of Jesus. Come out. By the blood. By the blood. They've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. They've been sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. They've been tried in the ecclesiastical court in heaven, and they've been declared not guilty by the blood of Jesus Christ. I bind you. Come out. Come out. Come out. Much more now. Jesus suffered without the gate, that he might sanctify the people with his blood. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? You're not your own. You were bought with a price. And the price was not corruptible gold or silver, but the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, a lamb without blemish. Come out. All rebellion, come out in the name of Jesus. I bind rebellion in the name of Jesus. I bind all infirmity spirits in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out. All infirmity spirits, come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out. Come out.
Come out. I bind infirmity spirits. Bind hay fever and asthma in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind hearing problems in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind deafness and Meniere syndrome and labyrinthitis in the name of Jesus. I bind headaches in the name of Jesus. I bind eye problems in the name of Jesus. I bind glaucoma in the name of Jesus. I bind cystic acne in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus. I bind you. I break your authority in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your authority. And I command you to come out in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak healing to the flesh in the name of Jesus. I bind all spirits of pyrrhea in the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of... Praise you, Lord Jesus. All spirits of tooth decay. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Bind all the halitosis in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind halitosis in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all spirits of ulcers in the name of Jesus. Come out, ulcers. Come out, all ulcers. Heliobacter in the name of Jesus. I break your authority. All spirits of hepatitis in the name of Jesus. Of gallstones in the name of Jesus. Of cholangitis in the name of Jesus. I bind you. All spirits of diabetes and pancreatitis, I bind you in the name of Jesus. Come out of God's people. Come out. Come out. Come out. All kidney stones, come out. All bladder problems, come out. Come out. Come out. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. All bladder problems, come out. Come out. Come out. Come out. All cystitis, vaginitis, in the name of Jesus, urethritis, prostatitis, come out. I bind the spirit of dyspareunia in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the spirits of lesbianism in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind the lesbian spirits. I bind the homosexual spirits. I bind AIDS. I bind perverted sex in the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. Come out. Spirit of the lesbian, I bind you. Man-hating spirits, come out. We bind you in the name of Jesus. You got no right to God's people. Come out in the name of Jesus. These are God's people. They've been sanctified by the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, I break your authority in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise your name, Lord God. Hallelujah. I bind the spirit of homosexuality and perverseness in the name of Jesus. All perverse spirits, all reprobate spirits, I bind you and I command you to leave. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. All prostatitis, go. All chlamydia, go. All human papillomaviruses, go. All cancer. Cancer of the colon, cancer of the lung, cancer of the breast, cancer of the uterus, cancer of the cervix, go. All cervicitis, go. All endometriosis, go. All PMS, go. All menorrhagia, go. All dysmenorrhea, go. We bind you. Go. Go. In the name of Jesus Christ. All spirits of impotence, go. All spirits of impotence, all spirits of incest. I bind the spirit of incest, molestation, and rape. Come out, incest. Come out in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out, molestation and rape. I bind you in the name of Jesus. Go. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. Go. Praise you, Lord God. I bind all religious spirits, all Pharisee spirits. I bind all religious spirits that came in through a false system in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind all the religious spirits, all the necromancy spirits in the name of Jesus. Spirits of necromancy, spirits of religion in the name of Jesus. All religious spirits, come out. All Pharisee spirits, ecclesiastical spirits, lying spirits, I bind you and I command you to leave. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Go, go, go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, go, 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 go. All harassing spirits, go in the name of Jesus Christ. I bind you, I break your authority in the name of Jesus Christ. I break your authority and I command you to be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I speak healing and restitution to these children of God. I send the hornets from heaven to drive you out. I send the spirit of the Lord would said he'd send his angel before us to drive out the Canaanites and the Pejusites and the Lucites and the Hittites and the Ammonites and the Jesusites. Go out. Go. Go. Go in the name of Jesus Christ. I loose the spirits of fire and destruction upon you in the name of Jesus. And I command you to be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise your name, Lord. I bind all spirits of arthritis in the name of Jesus. Bind the spirits of all the spirits of arthritis. Go, go. all the spirits of arthritis. Go! Praise your name, Lord God. I break all the curses come down through the family line. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise. All of you, go. Praise. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Everybody hold up their hands now and praise God. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I bind the spirit of rings and bracelets in the name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord God. I break those, I break that in the name of Jesus Christ. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Just be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the authority of rings in the name of Jesus Christ. Of rings and bracelets and pennants in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise your name. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Oh, Jesus, we praise you and we bless you, Lord. Fill your people, Lord God. Fill your people now, Lord God. Fill them, Lord. Praise your name. Fill them, Lord. Drive these things out, Lord. Fill them full now in the name of Jesus. Oh, we praise you and we bless you and we glorify you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.